You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you really want inside can only come from you. Get you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it had to be done, it must be done, it will be done because you did it. And you did it safely. Because you're a conscious brother and sister, always doing what's right and always being safe. That's why we appreciate you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. At the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And they're pretty much updated, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8 on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, and then followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and my good friend Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, from 7 to 9. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. All kinds of products that are produced by us. And once again, they're asking for donations to raise money to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, and then we'll go to Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Dallas, whatever. Wherever there's a good amount of our people, place that supermarket right there. And so those brothers and sisters who do farming, those brothers and sisters who produce whatever they can produce, you have your outlet. You have your market right there. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Mamadi Tayhimba is coming home today from Senegal and Gambia. We'll contact him and see if we can get him on the horn and find out how that trip went and how you can take advantage of the next trip that's upcoming. Of course, the Senegal and Gambia was from the April 2nd to the 12th. Today's the 12th. And the next one is May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022, going once again to Ghana. That's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Please go online. Everything you need is right there. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Rinoco, Rashidi. You know, I'm going to tell you, man, this Zoom thing, man, he's taking it to another level, man. He's going to have all kinds of Zoom meetings. He's got join Dr. Rashidi at the end of the month webinar, the African Presence in Early Europe. The African Presence in Early Europe on Friday evening, April 30th, and Saturday morning, April 5th. For $25 for both sessions, Zoom lecture series. Also, to remember, he has a seminar coming up Friday evening on the 16th. That's upcoming this Friday. $20 Zoom meeting with the brother from the Sudan, Samari Abbas from the Sudan. That's this Friday, and that is 8 p.m. Eastern, from 8 to 10, 8 p.m. Eastern. And of course, he has a tour upcoming, July 18th through the 3rd, going to Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Jeffries. And then a comedic tour, while it's in the same thing, he'll be out that way, then he's joining his group for the comedic tour. So he'll be in Ghana. Then he'll fly from Ghana to Kemet, to Egypt, for the Kemetic tour, and that is July 31st to August 13th. And, of course, Baba Rinoco is just outstanding. Does a lot of stuff. Okay. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the work that Habesha does, Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs, the Kashi Project that is ongoing right now as we speak in Ghana, the great work that they're doing, HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Once again, the Ledge Group, they have a raffle. You can enter the raffle. Go to ledgegroup.com. Go to the Ledge Group. Excuse me. Go to the ledgegroup.com. And when you're on the site, there's a raffle that you can enter. And you can have a African safari in Tanzania. A Tanzanian African safari. The Ledge Group. Remember, the Ledge Group stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Many projects. And, of course, they deal with the four basic things for human life: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 different projects in 6 countries on the continent with over 170 employed and over 260 members. That's the ledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk about ASCAC in a minute, but I broke away from the ASCAC conference to check out Obadale Kambon and the program he had this past Saturday, Why Kemet Matters. It matters. Having us constantly announce matters, because matters matter. And Kemet Matters, a good presentation. Brothers and sisters, go to bibiatumi.com. This Saturday's session is Common Elements of African Cosmology. Common Elements of African Cosmology. The Saturday seminars now start at 1 p.m. Eastern, at 1 p.m. Eastern. They were starting early in the morning, but, you know, kind of making it a little bit more beneficial for the brothers and sisters on the left coast, on the west coast, instead of being at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, now it's at 9. Let me see. 1 o'clock, 12, 11, 10, 9. Yeah. So, Bibi Atumi, brothers and sisters, go to Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, BibiAtumi.com. Sign up. A lot of stuff on Bibi Atumi. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End, located right on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna. The Shrine of Black Madonna is open on weekends, on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7 on Ralph David Abernathy. And Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar with delicious smoothies and all kinds of good stuff for you. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is open now. I haven't been there. I must admit, I got to get through there. And but give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, certificates, all kinds of good stuff, figurines. And I'm quite sure she's, because her place is going to be, it's her place where she's now, where she moved from, is a lot bigger. So check it out. I plan to. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu, the proprietor, he has a nice coffee bar with delicious African and Caribbean coffees and teas and sandwiches and the Supreme Bean Pie. I had some bean pie over there when I was there a couple weeks ago. Man, Supreme Bean Pie, you can't beat it. That's Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. The number is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Us, Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us, Lifting Us. And their radio broadcast is every Thursday night at 9, from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us. If you want to call to listen or call for comments and questions or concerns, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. For more information, contact our good sister Shirley Amonsett at 404-434-7963. That's once again, Sun Goddess Sense, your one-shop, your one-stop natural shop. And the number to call is 404-434-7963. Sister Gabby sent me a whole bunch of pictures. I tell you, you know, to me, I love it because, you know, when you donate, you really want to see, what's happening, which, you know, what your money is going and things that are happening. You know, sometimes people donate, they really don't care. But, you know, it's not that I don't care, because I do. I care a lot about the things that I give money to, because otherwise I wouldn't give money to them. I wouldn't support them. And everything that I'm saying here on this program, I care about. I want us to support. I want us to begin to think about, you know, supporting activities that are helpful for our people. But Sonjay-Aidi, go to Sonjay, S-O-N-J-E-Aidi, but that's how you pronounce Haiti. You don't pronounce Haiti, it's supposed to be Haiti. AYITI.org. Sonjay-Aidi. Ackerman Institute. Once again, thank Baba Baruti for the time this past Friday. Man, just a lot of good feedback. Of course, you know, we always want to hear from Baba Baruti. We know that he's busy. He's a prolific writer. We read the Inye Sesim, which I'll read in a moment. You know, every
every program and other publication that he has. So, brothers and sisters, support Baba Barudi and the efforts that he and his wife, Mama Ya, are initiating. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But you can use Cash App or PayPal. On Cash App, the dollar sign Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, B-A-R-U-T-I. You know, also, too, if you want to support him by buying his books, AkabinHouse.com, AkabinHouse.com. So, we'll get off into reading the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Enye Sasim. April 11th. Without vigorous nationalist thinking and aggressive nationalist program of action, we will continue to chase false dreams created by our oppressor. Conrad Wuerl, very good friend of mine who's an ancestor. Conrad Wuerl. Some people say that wars do not operate within reality, that they live in an unrealistic, childish fantasy based on some hopeless hope of victory in the face of overwhelming defeat. However, what is systematically overlooked by these people, these same people, is that their analysis and conclusions are limited to an unimaginative, disingenuity given to them by a menticide, which has them seeing warriors through Urugu's eyes. Any assessment of an African possibility through these eyes is constrained by a whole host of unspoken impossibilities. It is beyond the scope of those eyes to imagine African sovereignty, because that would entail an absence of the presence and direction of Urugu. It is beyond the ability of such chronically diseased eyes to see that sovereignty is the only viable African nationalist program of action. Let me say that again. It is beyond the possibility of such chronically diseased eyes to see that sovereignty is the only viable African nationalist program of action. The warriors of whom they speak, however, have pure, clean, perfect vision. They can see that nothing could be more liberating to the African genius than sovereignty. They are sighted enough to know that without it, in this imposed, evasive, volatile, anti-African reality, we will drown in the sea of each other's self-hating misery. And being African nationalists, we call them to this work. We give them our experience so they can also conclude that doubt drains, and to never question the clarity which has been passed on to them. And as our ancestors told us, to never act as if it's impossible to fail. To never act as if it is impossible to fail. Affirm, I am vigorous African nationalist thinker who has an aggressive African nationalist program of action. Affirm, I am a vigorous African nationalist thinker who has an aggressive African nationalist program of action. April 12th, the hardships, personal and personality clashes, mental health issues, broken bonds are mere hiccups on the road we must travel together that will ultimately turn us to our glorious African selves. We must show up every day ready to do the work, being patient in the process and working till the work is done. And working till the work is done. Brother Kwame Ahmad Abdullah. Warriors waste an enormous amount of time and energy blaming themselves for what they were before coming into consciousness. We must move beyond self-blame for the conditions of our people. We must forgive ourselves for having acted in ignorance, for any former complicity with our people's enemy. We must understand that acting under the influence of European culture was beyond our reason, in that our reason was that we were not African. Who we were was a condition of temporary insanity when we did not know who we were, and therefore we cannot be held accountable for what we did. This forgiveness, however, does not apply to post-awakening period of our lives. Forgiveness of self requires corrective action. At the same time, remember that true change from a horrible mindset is always incremental. Therefore, we must take into serious consideration the amount of time which will be required to acknowledge, stop, and reverse the damage done. Again, we only become blameless when we gain consciousness. We apply correction to the whole of our lives. Earnest warriors personally acknowledge what they have done and do all in their power to prevent those aspiring to consciousness from continuing to work along with a similarly destructive path. Warriors must forgive themselves for mistakes they made when they were not themselves. Affirm, I will do the warrior's work until full African sovereignty is attained. Affirm, I will do warrior's work until full African sovereignty is attained. Ashe. Ashe. The NDA Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Let me do this, talk about ASCAC. Once again, I listened to Bibi Atumi, Brother Obadale Kambon's presentation on Kemet Matters. Excellent presentation on Kemet Matters, why it truly matters. It's establishment of things that Kemet has done and why Kemet is important in our lives as African people. It was the height, as I say in my libation, it was the height, the apex, the zenith, the pinnacle of African high culture. And, you know, the culture did not die until Islam in the 7th century, 600s. It was strong all the way up until that point. It was strong under the Hyksos invasion. Strong under the Greek invasion, strong under the Roman invasion, strong under any other invasions. Because culturally, it was superior to any other thing that came into it. But then, of course, through time and so forth. And so today, you know, I think somebody mentioned on one of the, either I was listening to the Bibi Atumi piece, or I was listening to ASCAC. I can't remember when they talked about what's happening, what just happened with moving the mummies from the old museum in Cairo to the new museum down the road in Cairo, which they even built a new road from that museum to the other one. So their ride would have no bumps, just a smooth ride from that place to that place, you know. And, I mean, I understand, you know, they're preserving that because what else is there? That's a tourist piece. That's the money. That's like I said, when they had that Arab Spring thing and they were tearing stuff up and ISIS and all the other foolishness and tearing up monuments and statues and so forth, you know, that wasn't going to happen to Kemet. They formed a line, a human chain around it, you know. It wasn't going to happen to Kemet. Speaking of which, I'm going to say something about ASCAC in a minute. Also, too, about the Arrow. The Arrow newspaper, brothers and sisters, I know we ain't forgot about the Arrow. I know I haven't. They finally put out a winter spring. You know, they're quarterly now. They used to be monthly. They're quarterly. And so I'll talk about that on Wednesday. And then Thursday, I got Kiel Parker coming in on Thursday. So, and the Arrow newspaper. But I was going to say something about Kemet. Yeah. And I tell you, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. So let me go talk about ASCAC and what's coming up with ASCAC. And brothers and sisters, it was a good weekend of ASCAC. There is no conference today. It resumes tomorrow. Tomorrow. So once again, you can go to register. Put in ASCAC2021.eventbrite.com. It is free. It is free to register. Okay? ASCAC. ASCAC 2021.eventbrite.com. Eventbrite. Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E. eventbrite.com, so you can register. But also on that, you can become a member. Or if you were a member, you can renew your membership. If you're an elder, you can do that as well. They have, you know, costs for elders and so forth. And so I know that I definitely had to listen to my good brother LeGrand Clegg this Saturday. He had a good presentation. And that was right after I listened to Bibi Atumi and the Why Kemet Matters. And it's a good presentation. And so you have a number of people speaking. I got a chance to hear Sister Angela Porter and Kemetic Protocol, Core Ways of Knowing Governance, as shown in selected texts. And then LeGrand Clegg, I listened to him. And that closed out Saturday. And then Sunday, Brother Samari Grimes, excellent presentation for the love of African children, exemplary ideas of village building. He's out of Philadelphia. Out of Philadelphia, excellent presentation. And Mama Rosalind Jeffries, her presentation was on the Kemetic symbols of storming the Capitol with the Greco-Semitic symbols. And then the break, they had a video of Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Babu Jimsu Sahudi, Dr. Carruthers. And then Dr. Leonard Jeffries closed it out on Saturday. And then they closed it out on Sunday. That was yesterday. And on Tuesday, tomorrow, Dr. Aman Saba, Director of Karnak House Publications in the UK, Trinidad and Tobago, the impact of philosophy of Kemet on the fundamental concepts of Islamic moral philosophy. That begins on tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock. It begins at 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern. At 8:30, Larry Crowe, he is the second vice president of ASCAC, and he's the ASCAC research chair of the research commission. And his presentation on tomorrow is The Life and Public Health Services of Dr. Martin R. Delaney, the 19th century African genius and the father of African nationalism, Martin R. Delaney. Going to talk about him in depth, too. In fact, I think I'm going to try to get Brother Larry Crowe, because he's an authority on it. He's had pilgrimages to Martin R. Delaney, where he's entombed. Then at 9 o'clock tomorrow, Reggie Mabry, an independent scholar from New York, talking about Medu Netcher and the tour of the Metropolitan Art Museum in New York. I think that should be very interesting. And then on Wednesday, Dr. Bernie Gallman, and these are a bunch of independent scholars talking about various subjects. His is Analyzing Our Oppression, Understanding the Mechanisms, at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, Dr. Joshua Myers. His A Worthy, Joshua Myers is Africana Studies at Howard, along with Mario Beatty, Delethea Watkins, and Dr. Greg Carr, another professor, Joshua Myers. Africana Studies at Howard. A Worthy Ancestor, W.E.B. Du Bois, A Black Life. And then at 8:40, Deborah Johnson out of Buffalo. Early 20th century progressive movements in Buffalo, New York. And then at 9 o'clock, the last session is Tyreek Richardson from Temple University. The Great African Thinker Series, a literary celebration of our intellectual heroes. And that closes out Wednesday. Then on Thursday at 8 p.m., the ASCAC Eastern Region Study Groups toward a research strategy, the African origins of Kemetic civilization, focusing on Sheikh Anshar Diop and civilizational barbarism. That's going to be good. At 8:30, Otania Thompson, emerging scholar. She's from Cleveland University in South Carolina. Undergrad research, and there's a number of students in Savannah, Georgia, another student of Kalefla, and then Sean Brooks from Morehouse, and Radney Gross, also from Morehouse, and that closes out Thursday. And then Friday, Dr. Alethea Watkins, Associate Professor of Africana Studies at Howard. Understanding in their own truth, African women and the fight to vote then and now, standing in their own truth. That's at 8 o'clock on Friday. And then at 8:30, Dr. Kamal Rashid, President of the Midwest Region, Capoeira finds order in chaos. African Fighting Arts has an African-centered education, Capoeira. And then at 8:50, Damon Stith, founder and president of the Historic African Martial Arts Association, to walk as a lion, the warrior way in African context. And that ends Friday with question and answer. That ends Friday. And then the last day of ASCAC is this Saturday coming up at the 17th at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. Yvonne Jones, she's the Spiritual Development Commission, and she's the director of the Kemetic Institute. She's a priestess in the Temple of the African Community of Chicago. And her presentation is, Those Netaru, which can and do, give life, give health, empower, restore, and more. The Medu Netcher, the Netaru, that those Netaru, what can they do? They can give life, give health, empower, restore, and more. And then Joy Hardiman at 1:30, she's the co-chair of African Creative Productions, ASCAC's Creative Productions Commission, Finding Abundance in Pandemics, a retrospective on 22 episodes of Let the Ancestors Speak, a virtual YouTube salon. That's going to be good. I say that to us all the time on this program. I say that to y'all. Let the Ancestors Speak. Go to YouTube. You can get all of them. And not only Ancestors, but you can get contemporaries. You can get contemporaries. Let the Ancestors Speak. Yes. You can get Garvey, Booker T, George Washington Carver, continue all the way up, Mary McLeod Bethune. I'm serious. You can let the Ancestors Speak. And then around 2:15, Sister Muriel from Chicago, Muriel Bella, and I'm not sure what that, but Patea or National, I don't know what that word means. But anyway, and then at 2:30, another person is giving a Medu Netcher group from Detroit, the Medu Netcher Study Group of Detroit. Understanding Ma'at has a functional symmetry, nature, reality, organized as a living interactive process. Understanding Ma'at as a natural symmetry. And then the last one, Infudishi, Brother Infudishi, and another brother, Jehudi Heru, developing Kemetic spiritual material for teaching our children. Developing Kemetic spiritual material for teaching our children. Then there's a break, and then there's a video of Dr. Asa Hilliard. And then my good brother, who will be on with me on Friday, Brother Akil Parker. He's an adjunct math professor at Cheney State. Du Bois, the mathematician. W.E.B. Du Bois, the mathematician. Should be good. And then the Kwame Ture Society for African Study at 4:15 from Howard, the Kwame Ture Society, The Way of Companions. And then last, but of course not least, the address by the first vice president, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr of ASCAC. And Changing Sames and New Normals, African Survival in the Worlds to Come. African Survival in the Worlds to Come. If you go on YouTube once again and put up Greg Carr, he has a real good, like a TED Talk. I thought that was excellent. He has a TED Talk. I thought that was excellent. The Arrow, I'll be reading from the Arrow on Wednesday, newspaper out of San Antonio, Texas. Baba Phil James, who was an ancestor. Phil James is a guy who's also an ancestor, a good friend of mine. But a lot of good stuff in there, and we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. I came across a piece that I'm going to share. When I first saw Grandmaster Jay and the Not Fucking Around Coalition, the NFAC, I was like, wow, yes. Because I understand that we live in a very violent world. Urugu's world is very violent, very mean-spirited and nasty and ugly. And so we have suffered the brunt of that for so long. I mean, you know, when you live in a world that is just so mean-spirited and hateful, you know, it was just like when I mentioned Jack Johnson's birthday, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and the fact that when Jack Johnson would win a fight, a lot of times Caucasians would be mad about it, and unfortunately some brother or sister, you know, would suffer a consequence because Caucasians just want to beat somebody's ass or kill somebody because of it, you know? And of course, how Jack Johnson was. But the point I'm making is that we must defend ourselves. We have every right to defend ourselves. And brothers and sisters, we must learn to defend ourselves. So what they were doing with the NFAC, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, NFAC, was something that I just like, wow, that's something that we desperately need. But unfortunately, you know, things have happened, and brothers, I'm going to read an article. I think it's a Caucasian that wrote this article. And, you know, I think that the reason why I want to read it to us and talk about it, it's a rather long article. And he's a Caucasian. It might be something else, but Rami Wood, whatever, he's a staff writer at The Atlantic and the author of The Way of Strangers, Encounters with the Islamic State. You know, but he had a meeting with Grandmaster Jay, and pretty much this is a dossier on what Grandmaster Jay, who he is, and all the things that happened with him. So I'm going to read some now, and then when we'll take a break and finish it up, so it'll be time for question and answer, you know. Okay. A black army rose to fight the racist right. A man calling himself Grandmaster Jay has raised a disciplined, heavily armed militia. It has yet to fire a shot at its enemies, but it is prepared for war. Yeah, that's something. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We have been warred upon. We are at war. That's why when they mobilized here in Georgia, where they went to Stone Mountain, because they were talking about rallying, because they do that a lot in Stone Mountain, the Klan and right-wing groups rally at Stone Mountain. They were there, and those Caucasians didn't show up. You know, the same thing in Kentucky for the to support the marchers protesting the Breonna Taylor outcome and others. And so they've been, to me, a very disciplined group, and I know I saw some things about what Caucasians said. You know, I think they did have one incident, and I think it's in the article, where a sister who, because they all got AK-47s or AK-15s or whatever, you know. When Grandmaster Jay walked into Million's Crab, a seafood joint in the suburb of Cincinnati, the waitstaff looked alarmed. Million's Club is a family restaurant, and that and on that placid November evening, Jay, the supreme commander of the Not Fucking Around Coalition, the NFAC, was wearing body armor, rated to take a pistol round directly to the chest. Dressed from mask to shoes in black, he was 4 hours late to our meeting and unremorseful. My time is sacred, he said, making aggressive eye contact. Indeed, of the two of us. I was the one who felt sheepish, not because I was wasting his time, but because it occurred to me that while I waited, I could have warned the waiters and the servers that my dining companion was often armed and that he might look as if he had just stepped out of the Matrix movie. He sat across from me in front of a platter of scallops and shrimp that had been hot when I ordered them for him an hour before, when the kitchen was closing. I offered him a plastic bib, which he, of course, declined. He wouldn't eat any food, but he requested San Pellegrino's, or in his absence, filtered water. Grandmaster Jay's group, the NFAC, is a black militia whose goals, other than to adjure fucking around, and are obscure. That means not. It has a military-like structure, fields an army of hundreds of heavily armed men and women, subscribes to esoteric racist doctrines, opposes Black Lives Matter, and follows a leader who thinks we live in a period of apocalyptic tribulations signaled by movements of celestial bodies. Its modus operandi is to deploy a more fearsome black militia wherever white militias dare to appear. Eventually, he intends to establish a racially pure country called the United Black Kemetic Nation. Kemet, Jay explained, is the original name of Egypt, which means land of the blacks. Which, of course, if you listen to Bibi Atumi, that would be very clear to you. That was a great presentation, man, I'm telling you. A lot of people, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you listen. You know, a lot of good information. Okay. A patch on Grandmaster Jay's body armor bore the nation's new initials, UBKN, UBKN, United Black Kemetic Nation. The NFAC leader's real name is John Fitzgerald Johnson. He is a former soldier, a field political candidate, a hip-hop DJ, and a rambling egocentrist, and a prolific self-promoter. His life sometimes seems like a long disinformation campaign about itself. The alternate version of Jay did not seem to cohere into a single person. I've lived five different lives, he told me enigmatically, like a Rubik's Cube. We're not going to dig into who I am, he said. I won't get into that from me. You won't get that from me. He said he wasn't from the Midwest, but I knew he lived near Cincinnati. I had staked him out in his apartment that afternoon. Even facts as straightforward as his age are not simple to determine. Some sources say he was young as 50, others as old as 59. The illicit enough to pass for being in his mid-40s. The best evidence, including court records, suggests that he turned 57 in December. That might explain his given name, John Fitzgerald. He would have been born 9 days after the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. One hint that he is no longer a young man is a light smattering of age spots across his nose. Okay. Jay claims that the NFAC first appeared publicly when nine white supremacists came to Dayton, Ohio in May of 2019. No one seemed to have noticed the coalition then, amid some 600 or so counter-protesters. In 2020, however, it showed up in large numbers. Jay claimed thousands, but hundreds seems more realistic, at protests over Confederate monuments and over the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, and protests over the police shootings of Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, and at protests over the police shooting of Trayford Pellerin in Lafayette, Louisiana. Trayford Pellerin. In Louisville, just 2 hours from where Jay and I sat, the NFAC first revealed the content of its capabilities. On his YouTube channel, Jay posted a video of his troops in formation. And local news stations ran aerial shots. The men and women are ragtag and amateur, and their uniforms are not well uniformed. One man has a Texas flag patch Velcro to his body armor. A woman taps and triggers guard of her AR-15 with a 3-inch yellow fingernail. But my goodness, the weaponry. AR-15s galore, sniper rifles with scopes, bipods, high-capacity magazines, and even tactical clothing to resupply an Army surplus store. They look like World War II partisans meeting their clandestine commander for the first time. They stand in neat space columns. I counted 28 rows of 7 before I stopped counting. By contrast, aerial photos suggest that the Caucasian or the white militiamen presented that day could have fit in a small school bus. When Jay orders his people into motion, they go. Yeah, some nice pictures of them. And as far as that has so far, that is all they do. They do not bicker with other protesters. They don't carry signs or complain to themselves or explain to themselves. We don't come to sing, Jay told the reporter from the Newsweek. We did not come to chant. Instead, they stand like Praetorian guards for some unseen emperor. In this iconic way, they distinguish themselves from two other groups that loathe or derail white nationalism. The bedrock guys who show up at the same demonstrations and sometimes at the behest of the president to try to topple American democracy, and Black Lives Matter, whose activists tend toward nonviolence. That movement accomplished nothing, Jay said to me. A lot of singing, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of sentiments and praise. Compared to NFAC's military-style discipline, Jay said, with white nationalists, on the January 6th at the U.S. Capitol, the insurrectionists included militia members from the group the NFAC had arrayed itself against. Unlike the NFAC, they were frequently breaking the law and for some time at least getting away with it. If the NFAC had done what these folks had did, Jay said, they'd still be bringing body bags out of the Capitol. If he is wrong, and it's only because black militia that attempted to storm the Congress would have been fired upon by law enforcement long before it even penetrated the Capitol. White people decided to act up and show us their true colors, Jay said. And in his view, January 6th demonstrated that the NFAC is an appropriate response to a country shameless in its hypocrisy. If a disorderly Caucasian militia can sack the Capitol and get away with it, on what basis could one object to an orderly black militia that obeys the law? One objection to such militia is that it is avowedly racist. Jade describes its recruiting strategy. You must be black. If you're biracial, your father must be black. The other criteria related to recruits' ability to arm themselves without attracting the attention of law enforcement. Military experience is preferred, Jay said, and would-be coalition members must have their own RA-style rifle. We're not a shotgun organization. Anyone without a concealed carry permit must have the clean record necessary to get one. In one of Jay's video, he tells his followers that he intends to meet each and every one of them face-to-face eventually to conduct an interrogation to screen out fakes and wannabes and snakes and snipers and spiders. Jay says he will swear people in after they have put your life on the line by standing armed in a NFAC formation in a situation where other armed groups might start trouble. This is the worry of those who monitor domestic extremist threats. If you recruit an army, equip it to fight and range it has an infantry across from other armed groups, one shot could ignite the skirmish and perhaps turn downtown Louisville into Baghdad for an afternoon. Public order is the hostage of the most radical gunmen present. Jay posted a video from Louisville showing white militia members expressing concern that the NFAC would annihilate them. There's no cover there, one laments to a police officer. NFAC showed up and decided they wanted to wipe us all out. We're gonna be gone in seconds. These are volatile situations, an investigative researcher for the Anti-Defamation League on Extremism told me when I asked her about the NFAC. The coalition is larger than the older white militias. They are a lightning rod that attracts opposite groups, and that's the recipe for conflict. We have a zero incident record, Jay boasts, mostly accurately. We've never destroyed a piece of property or had our people arrested for anything. So far, the NFAC's only known casualties have been its own members. After a woman in formation sent herself and two other members to the hospital when she fired her weapon, seemingly by accident, right wingers, gun enthusiasts, and ex-military types on social media ridiculed Jay for his and his followers' poor weapons discipline. Well, that'll teach him, won't it? And Jay's own record is blemished with accusations of violence. He denies them and amend his long sermons about racial maturity and spiritual self-awareness. He sometimes makes alarming threats. In one video alleged in a crime complaint against him, he tells his followers to burn government officials' homes and murder their children. He also advises them to destroy police body cameras if they assault cops or to remove the evidence. I'm going to take a break right here, and we'll finish talking about Grandmaster Jay. I believe that we do need, desperately need, a group that we must, that we can be protected by, a group that is ours. And that's like I said, when I first saw them, I was like, man, that's what we need. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue this. We'll continue with the article, and then we'll take your questions, comments, or concerns right here. Today is Herbie Hancock's birthday. That's right, Herbie Hancock's birthday. He's 81 years old. Right on, Herbie Hancock, 81 years old, born in 1940 in Chicago, Illinois. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And that was Herbie Hancock on his birthday today. He's 81 years old. Wish him happy birthday. The Traitor. Excuse me. Getting back to the article from The Atlantic and talking about the NFAC, a militia made up of American Africans, men and women, who will be supposedly where they needed to be to protect brothers and sisters who may be threatened by Caucasian white militias, Proud Boys and all the other neo-Nazi groups and so forth. And its leader, Brother Grandmaster Jay. And we'll continue with the article. Jay is contesting these allegations where he told his members to do a number of things. Let me go back. Jay's own record is blemished with accusations of violence. He denies them. Amid his long sermons about racial maturity and spiritual self-awareness, he sometimes makes alarming threats. In one video, as alleged in a criminal complaint against him, he tells his followers to burn government officials' homes and murder their children. He also advised them to destroy police body cameras if they assaulted cops to remove the evidence. Jay is contesting all these allegations. Even if true, such threats hardly compare with the actual storming of the Capitol. Yet it is rarely good news when you learn that a sectarian racist is raising an army, stockpiling weapons, demanding total loyalty, and suggests that he is a messiah. Jay speaks prophetically and sometimes apocalyptically. Following his teachings, he said, would be the first to tell you, nothing that I have predicted has not come true. In October, on YouTube, he told his soldiers, at this point, I don't think I'll be joining you too much longer. Just remember that when I'm gone, these will be your instructional videos. In early December, the FBI raided his apartment and arrested him on charges that during a September demonstration in Louisville, he pointed a rifle at a federal agent, blinding him with his mounted light. Jay told me that all these allegations against him are bullshit. By bringing them up, federal prosecutors are trying to character assassinate him. I'm a student of history, he said. Anytime someone starts to galvanize people, it's the same process. Character assassination, then financial assassination through mounting legal bills, then imprisonment, exile, or outright murder. Jay is now out on bail. His social media accounts are frozen. He faces a possible 20-year sentence, which may or may not be a deterrent if he thinks his end is near anyway. The filtered water must have lowered his inhibitions because over the next 2 hours, Jay became more gregarious. His story and purpose of not fucking around became a little more clear and a little less. He grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and in New York City. According to Pentagon records, he joined the military in 89. At some point, he got married, though he refused to say more about his domestic life. He told me that he spent 4 years in the army in Germany, where he revised his racial self-understanding. I saw that I had been socialized to believe that I was a second-class citizen, that there was something criminal inherent about me. In Germany, Jay was treated with the utmost respect. He said he enjoyed a reprieve from the American racial hierarchy. When he met Americans overseas, they tend to interact with him interact with one another more as compatriots in exile than as race enemies they might have been at home. He visited Auschwitz, he said, and was incredibly influential by what he saw.
In our conversations, though, he made no direct reference to the mass murder of European Jews and others, or to the lessons of totalitarian fascism. Instead, he mentioned that he was impressed by post-war Germany's decision to outlaw Holocaust denial and glorification of Nazism. The United States, he thinks, has failed to do and failed to show the same backbone in recognizing with its crimes against black people. And I agree wholeheartedly. He considers Germany a genuine effort by society to restore and repair those peoples who were the victims of his Holocaust, which, of course, they failed to do here. Like so much else about Jay, his possession of European Jews presents a contradiction. Elsewhere, he has quoted Hitler approving and suggesting that the Jews of Germany, these people running around calling themselves Jews, are imposters. That's true. He has also seemed to flirt with the Holocaust denial. A simple lyric from one of his hip-hop songs, "They call you a racist if you proud of your folks, but they must be muttering you now. But they be muting you now if you forget about the Holocaust." Jay's video repeats several themes popular amongst anti-Semitic segments of the Black Hebrew Israelites, a religious movement known for noisy proselytizing and elaborate conspiracy theories. One way to understand the NFAC is to imagine what a paramilitary wing of the Black Hebrew Israelites would look like. Jay denied all charges of anti-Semitism, but refused to answer when I asked directly whether he thought European Jews died in large numbers in the Holocaust. "I've visited the death camps. I've studied the documents. I've seen for myself," he said. "I don't have to justify my experiences in my position to anyone." Jay's military career, like most things about him, is strange. After basic training, his army assigns every soldier a military occupational specialty, or MOS. 11B is an infantryman. 94S is a Patriot Systems repairer. 12K is a plumber. Most soldiers have just one MOS over the course of their career. Once the Army trains a soldier, why go through the expense of training him again? "I've had 5 MOSs, Jay said. "This is like majoring in 5 different subjects in college. Not technically against the rules, but rare and implausible. He named 4, but refused to identify the 5th. Later, Jay said he had only 2. Meanwhile, Jay acquired a record of violence. According to the affidavit in support of his indictment in Louisville, he was arrested in 95 for punching a woman in the face and for menacing a man with a 20-gauge shotgun. He left the Army in 97, but despised civilian life. He told his YouTube audience that he hated it. "You all were the most uncivilized, undisciplined people I've ever seen." He reenlisted in 98, but a year later, he faced a court-martial for another offense. He was busted down to the lowest rank, private, and drummed out of the Army with an other-than-honorable discharge. In August of 03, according to the affidavit, Jay entered Fort Bragg and threatened to kill his wife, who was also a soldier, and her platoon sergeant at a recognition ceremony. Somehow, after all of this, Jay reenlisted that December, this time as an Army reservist. He attained the rank of sergeant, went absent without leave just over a year later, then escaped court-martial by getting out of the Army a third time, again under other than honorable conditions, and again reduced to a private. Despite the travails, or because of them, Jay modeled the NFAC on military in which he had served. It is extremely top down. chain of command. It's an extremely top-down chain of command organization, perfect for people who like to take orders or give them. The NAFC is the private's chance to be a general. His chance to be a general. At his final discharge, Jay disappeared for several years. He later claimed to have worked as the director of a global cloud integration practice and solutions architect. He tried a career as hip-hop DJ, which took an embarrassing turn when such stars as Grandmaster Jay, Grandmaster Flash, and DJ Jazzy Jeff accused him of plagiarism and resume exaggeration. Jay said the accusations were a misunderstanding, but he also suggested to me in a particular and direct way that he had made certain mistakes. When they finally admit that they have the capability to time, when they finally admit that we have the capability to time travel, he said, I would love to see one of us go back and meet ourselves 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You would sit there, you would sit that person down and have a word with them. Wow, that would be deep, wouldn't it? Jay reappeared in 2015 at a rally of the movement he now denigrates, Black Lives Matter. I was caught up in it, in all of that. I mean, I was waving signs and chanting. He showed up during uprising following various outrages, such as the murder of nine parish people in Emmanuel Church in Charleston, Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, by a white supremacist. He led the crowd of 10,000 across the Arthur Bridge to protest the mass shooting. After the murder of Walter Scott by a North Charleston police officer, he appeared at the side of Scott's family. I was there to escort Walter Scott's mother to the funeral, he said. He was an ordained minister at the time. Photos from the funeral show Jay wearing an Anglican-style collar, clerical collar, and holding Judy Scott's left hand. At some point, he repudiated the Black Lives Matter slogan. It's not Black Lives that matter anymore, he told the crowd. It's an updated video. All lives matter. In 2016, he emerged again, wearing a dark business suit with a black tie and pocket square and large wristwatch. His website, onlywecanfixus.com, onlywecanfixus.com, advertised a bid for the White House on an independent ticket. His platform consists mostly of liberal platitudes with an emphasis on diversity, police reform, support for veterans, actions on climate change, almost indistinguishable, he said, from Bernie Sanders. He lost to Donald Trump and concluded, like most independent candidates, that America had rigged politics against him. The only way to win was to play a different game. On August 21st, 2017, he witnessed the two eclipse of the sun while standing outside the city hall of Carbondale, Illinois. He swooned during the eclipse, felt a wave of energy, and began preaching the ideas of the NFAC soon after. He said that the NFAC was born out of the atmosphere created by Donald Trump. That's the truth. Not out of a spiritual revelation, but the transformation does not appear coincidental. From that point on, he was spitting knowledge on social media, much of it about alien aircraft, visitors, and odd phenomenon he noticed in the sky. He also said that he had a health scare. I was supposed to be dead 2 years ago, he told his followers, but I'm not. I'm still here because I was cured in a way that defies medicine and changed my entire brain structure. He began eating differently and drinking alkaline water to reactivate his pineal gland and scrub his system of impurities and that were impeding higher abilities. He drank his drink order. San Pellegrino and filtered water had spiritual implications. Oh, sure. Few paid attention until Jay showed up with dozens of armed followers in Georgia last year and phased his new beliefs in a military idiom. Laws, he told me, are just paper, and it is only reasonable that black people arm and train themselves to act as an immediate bulwark against the continued human rights abuses perpetrated against them. Too much talking, time for some action. Tommy Selby, a professor of American African Studies and Philosophies at Harvard, noted that these two ideas had precursors in black political thought. Armed self-defense had been around at least since Cyril Briggs, who founded the African Blood Brothers in 1919 during the period after the First World War, when white mobs were shooting black people and burning their businesses, and many black people considered peaceful demonstrations, such as those organized by the NAACP, inadequate. 4 decades later, the activist Robert Williams wrote the classic text of Black Armed Resistance, Negro with Guns, which argues that violence against black people calls for violence by black people. The tradition of armed resistance persisted even as the civil rights movement seceded by rejecting the fearful symmetry. Martin Luther King and Barry Rustin and John Lewis showed that black people without guns were much more formidable. Jay said he does not admire or imitate any black activists from previous generations. He protested that when I suggest a comparison to the Black Panthers, whose aesthetic the NFAC had obviously ripped off, but was quick to defend the Jamaican political thinker and activist Marcus Garvey, who called for black self-sufficiency and attempted to found a homeland for black people. When I mentioned Du Bois, Jay cut me off to condemn Du Bois as a bourgeoisie and an enemy to the movement Marcus Garvey started. If Du Bois was alive today, he would hear his words. He would eat his words. He would eat his words. Like Garvey, Jay's rhetoric calls for black self-reliance and segregation from white people. His goal, he said, is for the black race to come up into its own, which it has not, and to mature as a race, first by building racial self-esteem. He said black people have been like the guy who sleeps on your couch that doesn't go home until you have to throw the couch and him out. If they get armed and get serious, they will no longer have to blame the non-melanated for their failures. Ultimately, Jay calls for the descendants of the Portuguese and Atlantic trade and the Atlantic slave trade to separate themselves from others and create a black ethnostate. The United Black Comedic Nation, he said, would have the full recognition of international law. What we're talking about here is a legal action that takes us from being freed Negroes or freed slaves and descendants of slaves into a country that classifies us by color and denigrates us by race to a place where we are citizens of our own country. The location of this new country is negotiable. And as a model, he considered Wyoming because of its cheap land. But Jay told me that when he floated Wyoming to his followers, the response was, hell no, ain't nobody want to go to Wyoming. Shelby notes that the desire to establish a black homeland on American territory likewise had a long history. Following up in the Harry Haywood's book, Negro Liberation in the 1940s and the Republic of New Africa movement in the 60s and 70s. As Jay browsed real estate, he also made overseas allies, he said, in black liberation movements in Africa and Europe. These people are screaming our name while they're resisting, he said, although no such screams have been independently documented. He claimed to have enlisted the Niger Delta Avengers, a militant group that had been blowing up pipelines and other infrastructure in Nigeria as part of its coalition, which will eventually be the military backbone of UBKN, which is the United Black Kemetic Nation. To demonstrate its power, Jay said, the NFAC aims to assemble in one place 1 million legal black gun owners to show that the United Black Kemetic Nation can defend itself. Part of the process of creating a new country under a treaty known as the Montevideo Convention is demonstrating that enough people are eager to live there permanently and can administer the new state. That includes defining it, Jay said. If I assemble 1 million legal gun owners, I have the fifth largest ground army on the planet. I think that's a pretty significant indication. There are 57 million of us here. All I want is 1 million. According to the census, there's 47 million of us American Africans or black or other race because of Jay's his theory on race. He probably presumably recognize a smaller number still. How can you get even 1 million armed followers if just a few years ago you were a failed DJ and now you believe that Sam Parent will give you all these natural powers? These do not sound like a promising beginning of a modern Simon Bolivar or Toussaint Louverture. But Jay has loyal followers. Maybe in spite of these ethnocentricities, and maybe because of them, most people do not think it is sensible to channel justify rage by buying an AR-15 and joining a cult-like paramilitary organization. Nor do most Americans, let alone most American Africans, want to establish a racially pure nation. That's a damn shame, because we should, but we've been so duped, even somewhere other than Wyoming. But the desire for action of some kind, acknowledging that black people are uniquely menaced, is to be expected. Watching a mob storm the Capitol with a Confederate battle flag should freak out any American who hates racism. Come on here. Sorry about that, family. Okay, sorry about that. Watching a mob storm the Capitol with a Confederate flag should freak out any American who hates racism and inspires such a person to seek a radical cure for a deep political sickness. Jay offers a remedy, prepackaged and ready to deliver. Unfortunately, Jay's answer created a parallel quasi-fascist race army with his own flag and homeland. Strikes me as a particularly bad case of becoming that which you hate. See, this is cocky. You don't understand. The NFAC also appears to have tapped into a kind of modish authoritarian magical thinking. Plenty of Trump supporters believe that their man had a mythical ability to outwit his opponents and bend previously unbendable laws of politics. He could say anything, do anything, and somehow survive. Many still believe that. In Jay, NFAC followers have a leader who conjured an army, announced a black uprising in multiple American cities, and somehow got away with it for months. I wonder how many of them regard Jay's fraudulent past the way Trump supporters regard the former president's past. If any such clown could get this far, he must have divine favor. That's what they would think. Jay has terrible ideas. And in ordinary circumstances, most people would identify them as crazy and reject them. In 2020 and its aftermath, however, there is a greater than usual demand for someone who seems to have at least a little skill at prioritizing the angry gods. Surely, though, there must be limits to what Jay's followers can accept. At one point in our conversation, I thought I might have detected such a limit. We spent an hour talking some sense and a lot of nonsense. Now the restaurant staff presented me with a bill and a doggy bag and exited us to the parking lot. We sat in Jay's SUV, which soon filled with the pleasant Cajun aromas from the scallops. At that point, and for the first time, the conversation flowed more naturally. Jay had run out of the boilerplate. You might mention time travel, and you mentioned alien spacecraft. Do you know anything about these things? Jay paused. I'm not at liberty to discuss these. I asked if he felt obligated to oaths of secrecy sworn to the U.S. Army, to the U.S. military that had twice expelled him from its ranks. He said yes, but I pressed him to continue. Very interesting, Jay said, speaking slowly and deliberately for the first time since his performance that night had begun. Someone asked me the other day, they said, how is it that you've managed to do in 6 months what other people have not been able to do in 60 years? I would simply say that knowing the future doesn't help unless you have a deep personal hands-on experience with the past. A lot of times when people talk about time travel, they always run into the paradigm. If you change something in the past, then you screw up your present. Jay shook his head. Think of it in terms of an alternate path. He said that by stepping off this timeline into another timeline, you create a new reality. Yes, you see, you screwed up things in that timeline. But when you return to your timeline, nothing has changed. He continued, there is no set future. There are multiple futures, depending on the timeline that you set in motion. He said, one cannot really change the past, just meant a new timeline. 2020 is a great example. You all are living in an alternate timeline. Everything's upside down. The world a year ago is completely 180 degrees from where it is now. And people are just blundering through it without realizing that they're living in an alternate timeline. How did we get here? That's the kicker. You figure that part out, you'll figure out everything else I'm talking about. I thank Jay for the first time, and he thanked me for my time. I thanked him for his time, he thanked me for my time. A month later, the police raided his apartment. Among a small army of arsenals, they also found an amount of marijuana. After Jay's arrest in December, he ordered his followers into a stand-down position. The militias that the NFAC opposes, such as the Oath Keepers, were active during December and January, and because of their presence at the storming of the Capitol, they now feel the heat of law enforcement. On January 6th, the NFAC had no presence in D.C. The District of Columbia does not allow open carry weapons. When I talked with him in February, Jay gloated about his enemies' legal jeopardy with some justification. The U.S. government is going around cleaning up all these other organizations, he said. We're watching. This strategic stand down was not entirely voluntary, of course. By arresting Jay, the government took him out of circulation as a military leader. He won't be able to post instructional videos for some time because of the social media ban that was put on him as a condition. He spoke. The cops took his rifles, too. He took his guns. Jay could not accept a foot soldier who showed up for inspection unarmed. Ironically, though, the government's confiscation of his weapons has proven at least one of Jay's prophecies. Jay previously argued that black people exercising their constitutional rights to speak and pack heat would be treated differently from white people doing the same. Of course, the crime he is now charged with is a real one. Pointing guns at cops is illegal and wrong. But poor muzzle discipline and poor judgment are universal at arms protests. And I suspect that other armed protesters have performed equally negligent acts and gotten little more than a dirty look and a chewing out from the cops. Right-wing militias stormed Michigan's Capitol and were not arrested. They were even planning to kidnap the governor, Whitman, the lady, and even probably kill her. And they were not arrested. Jay's disarming, Jay has disarmed a shift in his emphasis, if not tone. When I spoke with him after January 6th, he still slipped into a periodic fits of rage at the impatience of my questions. And he stressed that the NFAC is peaceful and wants it open up a dialogue and stabilize the situation. But Jay did not rise, raise a militia by cultivating tranquil persona. And the NFAC members who heeded his call at this crazy moment will not wait forever for him to revoke his stand down order and recover his insanity. They joined a group that promised to take a bite out of the earth and reserve it for black people. They expect to be held by the commander who preaches radical separatism, who will swagger with an AR-15 in public and boast that his snipers can biscuit a white militiaman's head from 1,000 yards away. Jay told me that he already had to vet his recruits carefully. Some people come to change the world, he said, and some come to end it all. The latter, he implied, are unwelcomed in the NFAC and have to be screened out. The NFAC has room for only one messiah. But even those who originally joined with peaceful intent can become jaded, given enough time. Injustice and absence of leadership. My brother Jay, Grandmaster Jay, and the NFAC. As I was saying, I think that the NFAC is necessary. If not the NFAC, an organization like the NFAC of some good, rational thinking brothers and sisters, because we need to protect ourselves. We need to protect ourselves. With all the uncertainty that is happening, and the fact that the Caucasians are armed to the teeth here in this country, I don't give a damn how many mass shootings take place. I don't give a damn where it's at and how many people have died. This country will never have reasonable gun control. Never. That's me saying it. If I was wrong, I would be happy to be wrong. I would have, because in Oshi world, I used to tell these Caucasians at the firehouse, man, in Oshi world, you wouldn't have a gun. Nobody would have a gun. Nobody. You want a gun? You go to the government gun rental place. And the only reason why you're going to the government gun rental place is because there are hunting laws. We would establish hunting laws. And you want a gun to go hunt, you come get you a gun to go hunting for whatever that might be during a hunting season. There's different things to be hunted during hunting season, and you can come get a gun. If that gun is used for any other thing other than what it was supposed to be used for, you might have a tough situation on you because, in fact, I would say in Oshi world, if you use that gun for any other person, especially if you kill somebody, you will die. You will be executed. No, nobody has a gun. Not even the damn cops. Nobody has a gun. Well, maybe they say if they got to maintain law and order, got to use something. Yeah, the only thing you can I say to use instead of a gun is a nightstick or some other kind of hand weapon. Nobody has a gun. Because just like what's happening now, right? I feared for my life. I feared for my life. And so when he took a step toward me, I had to shoot because I feared for my life. Just like the brother who was in the service. When he was stopped, and you've seen it on the news if you watch the news. He had his license up in the back of his window. He has a temporary license, you know. And they stopped him. Pepper sprayed the hell out of him. Man. And then, of course, handcuffed him. And then later, Brother Jay Simmons said, no, that's a fraud. Yeah, well, you know, whether Grandmaster Jay is a fraud or not, that'll be seen. But I'm speaking about the idea of a militia or the idea of a security force for our people, the idea of Africa, the continent, having one security force for our people. The idea. Because we live in a world, well, Europeans who recognize they are a numerical minority on the planet. But yet, one thing for sure that Europeans, because of their human development, they've always found a better way to kill your ass. They always developed a better way to kill from a rock to a club, a spear, a sword, a catapult, a Gatling gun, atomic weapons, you name it. They created, they always found a better way to kill. And we must protect ourselves. We must protect ourselves. The fact that we don't is a result of the mass murders that have been happening to us. And the fact that we've been trained to hate ourselves and that we kill ourselves more than anybody. There's no other people on the planet that kill themselves more than we do. Nobody else. Yes, other groups, they do have situations where they have skirmishes and they have disagreements and they have falling outs and one person may argue with the other and next thing you know, they're shooting and killing each other, but not to the extent that we are. Especially here in the States. I should look at what happens to us on the continent, what happens to us in the Caribbean, what happens to us in South America, particularly in Brazil. So, yeah. You know, sometimes you see it, like when it first came out with the NFAC, when it first I saw them, I was like, wow, that's on. That's on. and heard him speak and so forth. You know, I hope that the brother meets these charges, because we need to develop, not necessarily him, not necessarily the NFAC. You know, that can really literally fall by the wayside if and when a security force is developed and trained and is under the command of us, not one individual, but us as a people, because we understand it's necessary. It's like everything else. Charismatic leadership is dangerous. Charismatic leadership, you know, and that individual can be very good for us, but because it is a charismatic leader, he can be or she can be offed. Now what? Now what do we do? Dr. Clark said, no, we don't need a charismatic leader. We need a charismatic program. We need a program where if there is an issue and something happens, we're not ended there. We just turn the next page and we continue on. We need a cadre of leaders who understand what is important and paramount. And they agree that this is what we're going to do as a people. That's what I keep talking about when I talk about Africa. We need that kind of leadership on the continent. See, him talking about the United Black Comedic, you know, nation. Wyoming? There is no place on this, no place to me in this hemisphere, let alone in this country. We must go home. I can't say it enough. We must, if we're to be sovereign, when I talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, I'm talking about the continent. I ain't talking about here, because we cannot be any of that here. We can't be that in the midst of an open and sworn enemy, someone who is proven time and time again. And we keep going for the damn okey-doke and keep wishing and hoping and praying. No, we must get up out of here. Africa must be united. The people who have their various nations, I think that can be worked out. You can keep your perspective as the nation, if it's Wolof, if it's Shanti, if it's Akan, whatever it is. But the bottom line is you must be made to understand that it has to be one African. We're in this as Africans, not as Nigerians, not as Cameroonians, not as Ghanaians. No, Africans. It doesn't matter. That's why I could give less than a rat's ass. I'm sorry, but I can give less than a rat's ass about ancestry. That's just me. I'm just saying. I don't have to say, oh, I'm Nigerian and I'm part of this. Okay, Jay. Yeah. So, I'm hoping that's even as Jay just texted me about something, I'm hoping that what you understand about what I read about Grandmaster Jay, John Fitzgerald Johnson from Cincinnati, Ohio, and all of his things that he's gone through in his life to bring him to this point and to bring into an existence, the courage to bring to an existence, a national militia It's not about him. And it's not about an NFAC. What it is about is us and our security as a people. We must develop a defense force, a security force to protect our lives. I know that many of us are in the armed services. I know right now, if there's something happened and America said, take them out, those people who are in the armed services would do it. Because I've never been in the armed services, but I'm quite sure there's an oath being taken and you're trained and so forth. And that's something we cannot compete with. But we can't compete with a lot, but we need to start to train ourselves to protect ourselves. That's what I'm talking about. That's what's important. This Wednesday, the Arrow, a lot of good stuff in the Arrow. I always look forward to it, not especially since it's only quarterly now. So we'll talk about that. And then on Friday, Brother Kill Parker will be with us again. And say he's going to be doing the thing on, I think, Saturday for ASCAC. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to still participate in ASCAC, you can do that. The Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. Go to ASCAC.2021 at eventbrite.com and you can register. It's free. A lot of good information, a lot of good presentations. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodiye means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodiye.